I would intuitively lean into saying you're out of step with your daily creative practice.
You're a passionate creative, and so are we. Join me, Bree Stockwell, and my podcast partner, Len Metcalf, as we navigate the ups and downs of living creative lives while teaching you how to do it too. Time to pull back the curtain on our creative affair.
Hi, Bree. How are you today?
Well, I'm all recovered from my trip, I think, anyway.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Yeah, isn't it interesting that after a trip, there's this recovery period? I had a lovely trip only 2 weeks ago, and I had a two-week holiday, and I went to an amazing festival, and I met all these beautiful people. It was a bit of a hippie festival. And then I had to work, and I went to parties, and then I came home, and I just hit a low for like 4 days, and I was dragging my feet. I didn't want to start working again. And I'd just come off this huge high, and then I hit, it's like my dopamine ran out and I was just like flat as a tack. And now it's come back and I'm feeling great today. And I've felt that way for about 5 days now. I've been back on top of the world, working really hard and flying again. But that recovery period, geez, it was the pits.
You know, I decided on this last trip, like I totally get that. And I decided on this last trip, there's like a certain amount of time. If I'm gone X amount of time, that's how many days I give myself, you know, to recover. So I gave myself 2 full days to literally just like sit on the sofa, and I don't have anything pressing. Like I can do whatever I want to, but I don't push myself to do anything because I just feel like I need the mental recovery time and the physical recovery time. I mean, this trip tested me physically. It was 6 days of backpacking in South Africa. So that tested me physically. And I really needed the physical, I needed the physical recovery. I mean, that combined with it, they're really long flights to and from. So yeah, I knew it would be physically taxing. So I gave myself 2 full days and I still was not, I was like yawning at 8 p.m. My husband's like, hey, do you want to watch a movie? I'm like, okay. And then we go sit down and I'm out cold in like 30 minutes. So, but I'm back on. I'm back on staying up late again.
So does that mean if you go on a 6 month trip, you're going to have 6 months off afterwards to recover?
No. So for every 5 days, I get 1 full day. So 6 months would be, I need like a month recovery. I mean, I feel like if it's a 6 month thing, I know that was a joke that you said, but it's possible that one day my husband and I decide that we're going to rent out our house and kind of live on the road-ish and, you know, rent Airbnbs or whatever. And I think that would be a separate case where I would build in a recovery period to acquaint myself with the area. You know, like I would build that all in. And so after the 6 months, then it doesn't feel like crazy. You know, I'm not going to give myself a full month. I don't know how that would work. We'll see.
Well, it's a reintegration, isn't it? Back into the world and into a different world. I lived in the Middle East for 3 years and it took me over a year to reintegrate to living back home again. And I felt lost and weird and unsettled for a very long period of time. And it took me a long time to find my feet again after being away for such and living out of a suitcase for such a long period of time. So I totally get that. While you were talking, I was also reminded of how no matter how long I go away for, I still feel the same amount of exhaustion at the end. And I seem to put in a huge amount of energy. And like I've got this big bucket of energy and if I'm going away for 2 days, I deplete it. But if I go away for a month, I still deplete it and I have to refill it back up again slowly and carefully with a bit of self-love and self-care and an acceptance that there will be this down afterwards, and that it's okay to feel flat and like, oh, back here again, and what am I doing, and have all these feelings, and allow myself to build myself back up again.
I just take it as like, hey, that time was over. Like, I like being at home, you know, but sometimes I miss the movement of the adventure. But I know it's not sustainable, truly. And so I like using those days when I'm back to refresh my like physical energy and my mental energy, but also to spend that transition time where I just get to like hold the memories for a little bit without immediately covering them with all of the busy work that I do. And so that's really lovely because I get to take my time to just kind of move back into my life. And I like that. And I'm still, for this trip, I'm still writing about it and stuff. So I'm still holding those memories and kind of reliving them. And I think that's part of the post-trip reflection and recovery. So it's super interesting. But guess what?
What?
My brain is back at it. Like, I'm back at it. And you're back at it too.
With a vengeance.
That's right. I know. And I have 2 weeks at home and then I'm off again. And I'm off again for like multiple weeks. And I don't even have a return date yet. Like I told you, we were planning when we're going to record. And you said, oh, I could record on this date. And I'm like, surely I'll be back by then. So I didn't tell you that at the time, but I'm like, surely I'll be back by then. So it's Mother's Day on May 12th. So I definitely should be back by then, right? Do you think I should be back to my husband and my people by then?
It's Mother's Day. You can be whatever you want.
That's right. I'll use that as my recovery, those recovery days. I'll let them cook for me and such.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
Right? So we're back at it. I've got 2 weeks to just get stuff done. And I want to know, like, what is it that you're working on right now? Like, what are you looking forward to? What do you got going?
I've been flat out this week because I'm leaving on Sunday as well. And I've got a creative retreat in the Blue Mountains, and a few of us are getting together to make art all week. We're taking bookmaking supplies and a printer, and the brief is let's make art and let's make art products. Let's make something that's tangible, an object. That's right. I use the word object. Let's make art objects and make prints or books or sculptures or something physical, like a greeting card or something that we can give. So that's keeping me focused on the things that I am working on day to day. And I've had the most incredible time this year. And it was because of our podcast, Bree, that this actually happened. Is remember Creative February that both of us love? Well, this year, I convinced all my students in my online community to embrace Creative February. And so they're all producing art and I'm like, oh, I need to do this. And a couple of people, we're all photographers, a couple of people put their hand up to say they're going to draw. And I haven't drawn for 30 years. And I set myself the goal of reconnecting with myself through drawing, and I recorded a how to draw course, or a reconnection course, like a beginnings of a how to draw course. And I called it mark making because it's about just getting comfortable with a pencil. And I recorded that every day for Creative February. And you know, I actually finished it and been able to put it on my website and put it up for sale and go, hey, you can follow along and follow my journey and learn to be a drawer or learn to draw through that process. So that was one incredible thing that's happened, and it's through our connection that I've reconnected with drawing again.
That's fabulous. I'm going to forward this episode to Takis so she can hear it. She will love that.
It's her fault. Well, it's your fault, Brie, but it's her fault.
Right? Oh, it's my fault because of all the times I talked about how I'm not a drawer. Just kidding.
No, for introducing us to Keese.
Yes.
And having that episode. Like, and I'm thankful for that. I'm joking. I'm being cynical. I've got my Australian sarcasm on when I say it's your fault. I'm very, very thankful for these connections and how life unfolds. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, and I have James Rodewald to thank for introducing me to her. So it's like this wonderful ripple effect that's like really fabulous. So I have a question. How does your course start? It would be good for me, right? If I just
yes,
want to
it would
like...
be good for you. For me, it's only a beginning of a very long course, but it's the very first step, a month of just mark making. So becoming acquainted with using a pencil and drawing different shapes and shading in things and doing exercises. Now I record them slowly so you actually can draw along. Each exercise might take 10, 15 minutes, maybe half an hour sometimes. You do it every day and you just do one of them with me, drawing along slowly beside me. And we don't go into, you know, perspective or any of those fancy things. We're just getting comfortable using a pencil again.
Yeah, it's like that episode that we recorded where we talk about just starting. It's like that. Just start. Pick up the pencil and then you're just going to start drawing. I love that you take people on this draw along with me, and it's like a short, I mean, 10, 15 minutes, even 30 minutes. That's a short time. Every day. You don't have to do it every day. If you miss a day, you just catch up where you were before, right? It's self-guided.
Yeah, exactly. It's self-guided. Just catch up when you can. And once I get some feedback from a few people going, yeah, this is great, I will start on the next component, which I think will go for a few months, which is a much more detailed learn to draw. And then once we get through pencils, I'm hoping I build some momentum and I can get into drawing in pen and ink again, and even into watercolors, which was my love as a teenager. So as a fully qualified and experienced art teacher, I'm teaching myself to draw again and taking people on this journey with them. And it's beautiful. And I'm amazed how quickly my skills are coming back to me and improving through daily practice.
Isn't that interesting? Like, we do talk about the practice, you know, that you really have to, you know, practice your art. Oh my gosh, I think my door is opening and closing because I have my window open. So, and I don't want to close it. Can you all deal with a little sound? It's so lovely out. Who knows if you can hear it, but it's making a little click in the background. What was I going to say? So I might have to close it. It's actually bothering me. Hang on, I'm going to close.
Oh, is it? So while she races off there, the other thing that I've been so, so excitedly working on is putting on a masterclass again. And my masterclass is what started me down the path of being a photography teacher and shaped my whole life as it stands as the moment. I run it every couple of years, and it's time to put a version online for people to do at their leisure in a cohort with other artists learning to improve their photography for a Northern Hemisphere audience. So we're going to start off in August and match, well, as closely as we can, and put on times that match the Northern Hemisphere for America and the UK and Europe, something that goes for a year. And like the drawing thing, it's very much around lessons every week and doing practical exercises and meeting as a group and talking about it and getting feedback and working on your craft and skill as a photographer over a full year period. And I've had over 100 graduates of this program, and I'm so excited to be able to be doing it over the internet for people on the other side of the world.
So I want to make a point really quick. One thing that I love is that if you have a wealth of knowledge and expertise in something, then you can still teach yourself. And so I coach myself all the time. I remind myself of the stuff I know and retrain myself all the time. You do the same thing too, like you're doing with your drawing. So I just wanted to say that it's not about, oh, it's been so long, so I can't do it again. It's been so long. And guess what? I can just re-up that information. And all I have to do is this. I just get practicing and that kind of thing. So I love that. I have a friend who actually just enrolled she's doing a master's program in photography. And I think she's trying to do it in a year. What would be the difference between a university degree or a study at university versus like your master class?
The biggest difference is the intended audience, I think, is that university and vocational training colleges often have a bent that is quite strongly professional, either in the art-making world, so you can study it into the art world or off into the more commercial world. And someone studying it in the art world is very, very concerned about what they're saying and how it's being received. And it's this interaction with the artwork, with exhibiting it and with an audience and preparing work for that. And someone who actually wants to be a practicing artist. The difference with my masterclass, it's aimed for intermediate photographers who are passionate amateurs that want to make it something special in their life without actually taking it to be a career. So we don't go into all the financial things. We don't spend too much time on the technical things. We look at developing your practice and your skills in making photographs and artworks to build up your confidence to be producing regularly and happily and being totally immersed in it. So I really think the difference is in the audience and the outcomes.
That's really lovely. I think also there's no extra classes that you don't need. Like you're solely focused on your own work. But this isn't going to suck your whole time like that kind of a program would. Like it's not going to be this like intensive time commitment, even though you do have to make time for what you're doing, which is something I'm struggling with. But I'll want to talk about that in a little bit.
Like I'd love to do a PhD or a doctorate in creativity and devote every single day of my life that I'm, you know, like 5 days a week maybe, to making art and being totally immersed. Whereas my masterclass is something maybe a day a week that you would put aside while you're working to work on your love and your passion without being immersed at that sort of depth. Oh, I can't wait to talk about making time for our art, because in a sense, that's what we're talking about, isn't it, already? Yeah. So anyway, we'll come back to that, won't we?
Yes. Spoiler. Yeah, for sure. I think that's that can be a struggle for many people. Well, I love this idea of people walking, like you walking along with other people to do this, like more intensive, long-term, focused study of your own photography. I just think that's beautiful. How's lens school going? Your artist club?
It's blossoming, and we had the most incredible Creative February with so much art and stuff happening and people joining and finding their space and posting and helping each other with supportive and loving and caring and educational comments and advice for each other. So I'm very, very happy with how it's going, and it's growing all the time. It is so exciting.
That's awesome. That's so fun. Well, is there anything else that you have going? This, by the way, everyone, this is sort of a catch up. We're doing a little bit of a twofer here. We're just doing a catch up and more.
One of the things that I love is making art with other people. And so doing a program with someone else helps encourage me to do stuff. And so I personally enroll in courses every year just to be in a community with other people and to be making with them.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing some of the things that I'm doing that I'll tell you next.
I've been during COVID and our lockdown era, I started presenting to camera clubs all over the world, doing, you know, about an hour and a half presentation, sometime two, to a whole club of people. Like, for example, the Royal Photographic Society or Cleveland Photo Festival, for an American one, and ones in all sorts of strange places. So I've actually put the video recordings of those onto my website for people to listen to. And there's about 8 or 9 videos up there of me talking about various subjects like the magic of and secrets of black and white or composition or creativity. So I'm very, very pleased to put those up. So what about you, Bree? What have you been up to and what's exciting and new for you?
I just got back from that backpacking trip in South Africa and it pushed me pretty hard physically, which I think is really lovely. And I want to keep doing that more. Yeah. I don't know what my next like physical adventure is. Actually, I do know my friend invited me to do some hikes in Zion National Park, but I kind of want to do a 3-day backpacking trip. So I'm just going to figure out where, but that's not really new. But the thought that, oh, I can push myself physically is, or my capacity for that is expanding, which I actually really love.
What was the benefit of doing that, Bree?
I wanted to see more of what I was capable of. And I've never pushed myself like that before. Like I have gear. I had a lot of the things that I needed to go. And I really just wanted to push myself like mentally and physically. And it was really fun. I found myself, I'm going to do a podcast episode. So I have a podcast called Wild Women in Photography. And so I'm doing a personal episode because I recorded on the trip, like in my tent, you know, with some of my personal thoughts. So I'm still putting those together. But I remember thinking to myself, like, my body is made for this. I've got this. And I think a lot of times that kind of thinking translates to so many different things. Like, I already know how to do this. Right. Instead of second guessing myself, am I even capable of doing this? I never asked that question. I'm like, okay, I can totally do this, even if it feels hard right now. Or I was made to do this. My body, like I've made my body able to do this. And so I think that for me, that translates to my mental state. I created a space in my mind where I had fun even when it was hard. And I wasn't going to cry, but I cried one time.
Do you know what it sounds like that you're preparing yourself to be an artist?
I am an artist.
They're the traits that we need to work on. You know, we've got this, I can do this, I'm physically, mentally built for making art. And there's these moments we've just got to put our head down and trudge and keep working through the painful bits to make our art. I find the metaphor incredibly powerful. I also enjoy walking for days and days carrying a heavy pack, and my art is better for it because it actually helps me become, well, as you said, stronger, but it clears my head.
Yeah.
And that, for me, that's the benefit, is head clearing. I find it the most peaceful way. It's therapy for me.
Right. It was really fun to totally disconnect. Like I was totally off grid for like 6 days. And even when we got back to our lodge on the last day, I was like, I'm not turning on the Wi-Fi yet. So I just waited. I was like, my husband knows where I am. Like I sent him my location on my GPS thing. Like he knows where I am. If it pings, he knows I'm safe. And I'm not ready to like
turned my phone on and connect with the world yet. So, but I do find that those, I think sometimes, not all the time, sometimes it's important to make that long-term space and put our heads down and just do the work, right? So whether we go somewhere or whether we like close a door and say, I'm not coming out for days, you know, or I've cleared my whole schedule. I don't really know. Ooh, maybe I'm solving my making time for art struggle right now.
You are. Now we're up to about four strategies we've already talked about already making time for your art.
Oh my goodness. I haven't even talked about it yet. Okay, but wait, one of the things that I'm doing, it's our first one. I'm super excited about it. I'm doing a creative photography retreat in New Mexico with my friend Eric, who's a fabulous photographer. Like, what I love about his work is he's super creative. He's always kind of thinking out of the box and seeing things that I don't. And we just had a little meeting last night with everyone to kind of like break the ice. And the people that are coming, here's the big secret. They're going to learn from us, but also it's totally selfish too, because I get to learn from them. Like, I get to be in a place where I'm just surrounding myself with so many other viewpoints. It's a smaller group, but which I like, actually. I don't ever do big groups, but some really amazing different viewpoints and ways to look at the world. And they're photographers who see things in a different way that selfishly, it's inspiring and it like fills my soul. So I'm super excited for that. It's full, it's in 2 weeks, and I'm totally going to do another one next year. I'm going to immediately start planning that. It's going to be fun.
Fantastic. It's the people that make the trip, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the magic of the place is awe-inspiring, but the sense of community when you bring creatives together, I find that's where the magic is.
Yes. And you know, I just had a conversation. I had a conversation with an artist. She paints on silk. Her name's Laura. She's here in Austin. I'll link to her Instagram or her work here on the episode, because I just think her work is fabulous and y'all should check it out. She just finished an artist in residence in France. And she said it was with a house of creatives, of other artists, creatives. And she said it was so wonderful to like feed off of their energy. So like, if you ever have the opportunity to, and I'm talking to the audience or to both of us, like, I think it's wonderful to have the opportunity to put yourself in a space near other, like physically near other people, where, and you really do feed off of each other. It really is so fun. And I find my work gets better after I do that, because I think the energy transfers. What do you think? I feel like the energy transfers. And so we just have this beautiful sharing together, and that where it's solely focused on that. And that's just special.
Mm. It's just so motivating to see other people working and what they're doing. And it's, oh, you saw that, and oh, that's what you did with that. And you probably saw the same, you were in the same time space and in the same place, but you saw something totally different and you made something else that's different again. And that just lifts you, doesn't it? And that process of sharing experience, it's got a power. It's got this incredible, and you used the word energy. I like the word energy too. It's a beautiful thing. Creative energy just seems to grow when it comes together with others. You know, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 anymore. It equals 3 and 4 and 10 when we start getting groups of people together in these creative spaces. And we don't know what's going to happen except magic.
Right.
Like, magic happens in them.
There's that word again that we love so much.
I'm addicted to it too.
There's that word again that we love so, so much. So one of the other things that I think is really magic, I've seen some magic happen with some of my clients where they, and this is really special for me to watch them go from a place where they're stuck to like a place where everything is like flowing and open, and their work has this like really beautiful forward momentum. I just love that. So, and because I want to see this happen more often in a very short amount of time, I'm doing these 4 sessions to help people move past creative blocks and then be able to like repeat it. So I'm doing that right now very pointedly because I see so many artists out there that get stuck and they don't know what to do. Like they don't know how to get past it. And there's something really special in being able to have someone with you to address it in a compassionate way where, you know, you can just bring all of your stuff. I mean, you know, you just bring all of your stuff and lay it out and then we sort through it. And then these artists move forward and it's so, so good.
It's more than just handholding because what you bring to this process is a different vision. You can see things that us as artists can't see about ourselves. I was actually doing this last night with someone, you know, where should I put my efforts in making art? And as an outsider looking at their art, I could actually describe to them very, very clearly where their passions were and who they were. And they're just going, oh, yeah, that's me. And, you know, you're providing that service, aren't you? You're actually helping them see where their blocks are and figure out ways around them, ways forward.
Mostly, yes. Mostly it's where they're blocking themselves, which is really interesting to figure out where you're blocking your own self. And I love doing this work. So if anyone's interested in joining me for 4 weeks, I just have a special price. It's not on my website. You just have to email me. I'll include my email in the notes.
Fantastic.
So there you go.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, Bree, I wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah, what?
You mentioned before struggling with making time for art.
Yes.
We've mentioned this quite a few times this episode. Come on, fess up. What's your question?
So this has been a little bit of a struggle this week. I told Len I wanted to bring this struggle to the table because so many times we're just talking about ways to help other people and talking about our experiences. And this is like a current struggle for me. And I just want to talk through it. So, which is what I love about coaching. But what I really want to do is between Len and I, we can figure this out for me. So Len, please help me figure this out. I think where it's coming from is a culmination of, I've had multiple trips since like October. I went somewhere in November. I did Christmas travels in December. I was home for a bit in January, but I feel like I went somewhere again. I did. I went to Utah for a friend's birthday in January. I went again in February at the beginning. I left again in February at the end. I got back just in time to have a week. And then I went on my backpacking trip. Like, you see how this is going, right? Like, when would I actually be editing? So maybe this is the problem, is I'm editing. I'm like making art. I feel like I'm a photo collector at this point. Like, I have all of these photos and I'm just collecting them and it's like this big pile. So, which is okay. But now I'm in a place where I'm like, okay, I'm traveling one more time. And I really want to get to some of this, but I'm thinking, I don't have all the time in the world to do this. Like, I'm really struggling with having some time between the things I do at home, spending time with my husband, doing my travels, which will subside for a little bit after May. It's all of those things combined that I'm like, you know, we just talked about, you know, that feels frustrating. And we just talked about setting aside like like retreat time or something, but I don't have that right now. Maybe in June I could do that. Like maybe I could schedule a few days where I just do that. So that could be an option. Like, what do I do right now?
I would intuitively lean into saying you're out of step with your daily creative practice and that like setting yourself aside a week just to process, that sounds like a nightmare to me. Like, I don't know that I'd really want to be doing that. Like spending all day at a computer doing, oh my God. But doing a little bit every day with a, you know, with a goal and recreating this space of squeezing in a little bit of daily practice, that could be incredibly powerful for you. Now, I don't know why I came to that so suddenly, and I'm just telling you that. That's not usually my modus operandi, but I just felt strongly about it.
You just finished Creative February, and that's an everyday thing, and you saw the benefit. I mean, seriously, I think you see the benefits of it. And when you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not totally doing that. And while you were talking, I was mulling over what that could look like, because typically Tuesday through Thursday, I keep those as tight as like the times I work on my business versus like doing art. So I leave Mondays and Fridays are more open for other things, and Sundays, like Sunday afternoon. Maybe, so Sunday afternoons I used to edit for like a couple hours because I like that. It's like relaxing. You know, I'm enjoying the afternoon and I don't feel like I'm like stuck on my computer. I like doing that. Yeah, maybe it's just a hybrid of stuff.
So making art isn't about your business and you have it separated. Why? Aren't they the same?
I mean, yes. Yes, it's all the same. Okay, let me think.
So that's a label that you've got going on in your mind.
You caught me, Len. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Processing your work is art, and making it is art. Sharing it is art. Sharing it is art. Promoting your business is the same, is part of that process. So every photo that you process and share, you're helping your business. So it's actually a business thing. So setting aside time while you're doing business to doing it is valid. And setting aside time in life for it because it's enjoyable and it's a creative process that you want to do is also valid.
So you're saying I could just do art. I'm totally joking about this, but I could just do art all day, every day, and that would be my business. I'm kidding. Okay, wait, I do have a question. So I just did this zine, which has, have I showed it to you?
I haven't seen the physical one.
So
no.
I'm still it doesn't quite look right. I have a lot of edits to make, but I have like, you know, it looks like this.
Oh, it looks beautiful, Brie.
So that counts as art, right?
Yes.
Look how lovely that turned out, this two-page thing. Anyway, I did a good job. So I have to, so editing it, is that part of, I'm going to just answer that. I'm editing like some of the words and moving stuff around. That doesn't feel like art to me. I want to say it has to feel like art and it has to feel like creative practice. And whether or not I label it as something, I think we still have the emotions of it. So I already know that editing words and moving stuff around on the computer is going to feel kind of fussy for me. And that's not going to feel like art. So I can already ditch that. I'll just put that in my stack of business things to do, right? Making it was really fun.
That's for those few days that are specifically for business. Yes.
Right, right. Yeah. So now I think I'm honing in on what the qualifications are for when I set aside time for this, what I want it to feel like. Like I want it to feel fun. even if it's 15, 30 minutes, right? And I want it to like fill me in some way. And I want to feel creative. And the funny thing is, I already know I'm absolutely in charge of how I feel. Like, it has nothing to do with the art itself. It's all in what I'm telling myself about what I'm doing is how I'm going to experience it. And this is me self-coaching myself right now. And what's great is I am in absolute control over how I feel when I do it. And so how can I set myself up? Maybe that's what I'm looking for. Maybe I'm just looking for that feeling, that really amazing feeling, even for a short time, where I just feel really creative and free. And maybe doing it more on a daily is going to be really helpful for me to have that dopamine hit. It's a dopamine hit, right?
It's a really interesting can of worms that you've opened here because, and we were talking about walking and hiking before and stamina and putting our head down and doing the work. Mm-hmm. And art is like that. And as I said before, it's a beautiful metaphor. So we can have these incredible experiences in the other side of the world, in this amazing place with all these amazing people making these beautiful artworks, and they're only half finished.
Yeah.
Like we've gone through that experience of the taking. And then when we come home, the experience of turning them into finished products or to artworks or art pieces is a different experience, and it has a different set of emotions, and it requires a different headspace. And equating them as the same thing is fraught with danger is what's happening. And you're not alone. I'm sitting on a whole festival of photos. So I've got 5,000 photos in a folder, and I've got 50 people saying, "Where's my photo?" And I'm overwhelmed. And like you, I love to take photos more than I love, or maybe not like you. I don't know what you're feeling in this, but for me, I love taking them more than I love processing and putting them out. And so the backlog, I've got nearly a million photos now in a folder.
A million? Seriously?
Yeah. The ones that I'm still working on, I've got years and years and years of sitting in front of the computer, finding them, processing them, and putting them out. And it's an avoidance. Like, I avoid it a little bit, but I have a strategy to try and tackle it where I do a little bit of it every spare moment that I can find that energy to work on it. Mm. And I have periods. Like, I know we've been banging on about daily practice. I can't do daily practice every day of my life either. I'm going to be honest here.
I love that.
I go through periods where I can do it every day, and then I have to have a break, and then I do something else. So I go on a trip, and my life is punctuated with being away and traveling and working with people, teaching, also making art. Punctuated coming back into, well, I now have to finish these things and do things with them and keep working on my business at the same time, and they're all integrated into one. So the line between whether it's work or art or feels good or is a pain or a trudge or put my head down is all totally blurry.
Right.
And I just keep, like the bushwalk, we call them bushwalking here in Australia, like the hike, we just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep going at it. And sometimes it is hard work.
Yeah. You know, I think there's different strategies to deal with this depending on how much time we think we have. You mentioned a couple of them. Like, one of the things I like to do is consider my options. I love doing this. Like, what are all my options here? Like, one of them is to incorporate more daily practice. The other one is to do what I call focus time. Instead of spending all day or multiple days just head down working on something, I did that with my zine. You know, I was like, okay, I'm going to spend this amount of time this day, and I'm going to get it done. So the other thing, I love doing the focus time because it's like 2 hours. That's about all I can do before I need a big break. And so 2 hours focus time and then break and then move on to something else. Like I could certainly schedule that in more. And so that is a way to do this so that I think we might be able to get more work done in a focus time rather than like little bits of 15 minutes. I mean, 15 to 30 minutes feels like eating the elephant, but sometimes it takes me 5 or 10 minutes to really get in. But if I have a plan, I love the idea of having a plan. So if I have a plan for what I'm going to be doing, then it's easier to just roll right into it. Okay, wait a minute. I'm seeing the shapes form in the fog for myself. The mountains rising, appearing through the mist, which is so fun to witness. So I think what I want to do is have some real focus time where I do some good sorting through my images. And I think this applies, okay, I just want to say, I think this applies to any art that we do. If you're a videographer, you have to go out and, you know, make videos and come back and still do something with them. Maybe you're an author where you want to have firsthand experiences and then come back and then figure out like, what do you want to write about, right? How do you want to process what happened, right? So I think there's the random, like just for fun, daily practice. And then there's also very pointed work. And I'm talking very specifically for me about pointed work because there's stuff I want to get done. And I think this is why it's such a struggle because there's really some things I want to get done and I want to put out into the world. And I know it doesn't happen unless I actually go do the work. So I want to bring this, to the public, and it's really fun for me to share. So I think if I have once a week, some really good focus time where I make a plan and I'm like, this is what I'm going to do in this focus time. Like I'm really good at doing this kind of stuff now and planning for this and putting it on my calendar. So I know that if I plan it, it will happen. And I trust that, which I love. And then when I do that, then I can schedule in small bits of time. Okay, I'm going to work on this, 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 and this. Whenever I sit down, I just know the next thing on my list. I just go to the next one on the list. And that takes the like getting into it, the mulling over, what do I do, the decision-making part, because I know I just sit down, I pull up the next one, and immediately, I've done it so many times, like I can just roll right into it. There's no like getting used to editing again. What does the program look like? Because I'm in it so often. I just sit down, I do my 30 minutes, and I'm in it. So I like that combination of stuff, of time blocking for myself. One thing I've been really focusing on is honoring my calendar because I think as an artist, things don't get done unless you make time for them, which is why this is a struggle for me. And so when I put it on my calendar, I love looking at it and going, yep, nothing else is getting done except that, because I think that's really important for me. And so then I just do it.
I have a few other strategies for you.
Okay, great. Yeah, lay them on me.
One strategy I use is to simplify my computer time in how I do things to minimize that time. So I developed a system so that I'm finishing my work more when I'm out in the field and having them ready, almost finished, so that they go through the process really quickly. So I have a very quick editing time. And that's helped me keep away from the computer, which I, you know, it's an avoidance thing. I find it unhealthy spending too long sitting here at the computer. So that's one of my strategies. The other strategy is involving other people in this process. And we talked earlier about courses and those sort of things, but when I combine with other people doing things, it actually helps me get stuff out. So when I'm working on a book, I try to co-author, or I co-design and I work with the designer, and suddenly I become responsible to someone else for providing work to them. And that actually forces me further along that path of completing. Like, I think I'm a bit of an avoider of completing, finishing things. And bringing in others into this means that stuff gets finished. Like, I could dream about having a podcast for years and years, but until I met you, Bree, and we started, now we've got, you know, 60-something episodes out or whatever. But that's because we do them together and, you know, we have this accountability to each other that is incredibly powerful and supportive. So anyway, there's just two more little strategies that I find incredibly helpful for making time for my art.
I think it is important to recognize where do the weaknesses lie and then playing to those. So you're like, I know I have voids, so I'm going to get someone to do it with me. And consequently, it's like the 1 + 1 = 3. It's actually sometimes a lot more fun when you bring someone in. You know, it really can be. And I mean, it is a lot more fun doing a podcast with a second person.
That's right. We can have our affair.
That's right. So I am actually really good at being accountable to myself because I'm like, I'm going to get this done. And I'm going to show myself what's possible. And so I'm actually really good at that.
When we analyze what I was just saying is that I'm also playing to my strength, mm-hmm. which is working with other people.
Yes.
So it's not only addressing in a weakness, but actually inserting in a strength. Like I understand that that's maybe unique to me and it's something that makes me tick. Is I have this incredible power when I work with other people. And I hate working solo, and so I fill my life with people doing those sort of things. So, yeah, finding your weaknesses and filling them with your strengths as a form of balance is an incredibly powerful approach, isn't it?
Yeah. I know one of my weaknesses is I don't pay attention to details so much. So my zine is full of lots of little things that need fixing because of it. And so that's where I want to be like, okay, I know that this is a weakness. How can I involve other people here? You know, doing an edit on an image, letting it sit for a bit, and then coming back to it and saying, okay, what details did I not pay attention to the first time? So that is a weakness of mine. And I do come back to images a second time. I don't like doing one and done because I always feel like I miss things the first time. So I don't think it's kind of just part of my process, I think, that I haven't really verbalized before because I don't totally pay attention to details. There are other people I send things to and I'm like, can you check over this? And they'll send back all of the edits. And I'm like, why, thank you, grammar goddess. You know? So
procedures are very helpful in like creating little systems for yourself that you can follow to attend to these weaknesses or things that we miss. That's something I'm very big at. I have all these systems and I stick to them as much as I can. And then when I find that my quality is going down, I'm like, oh, I've forgotten to keep implementing that procedure that I've been doing before for this. And I just have to remind myself to return to it again and again.
Oh yes. Mm. I love a good protocol. So good. One of the things I'm reminded of while we're on this subject is not all time is created equal. And Len just nodded his head, yes. And to me that means 10 a.m. is not the same as 10 p.m. So for some people, like my friend Michael Rung, I like mentioned this before about energy and he's like, I'm such a late night guy. I could do all kinds of stuff late at night. I'm like, by 10 p.m., I'm done. Like I'm cooked. I'm out. But you know, wake me up at 6 a.m., I'm great. You know what I mean? And so I think we have to pay attention to what times of day are feel most productive for us and when we want to schedule in, like this is what I'm going to be doing is paying attention to when I want to schedule in doing art. I don't want to do it at a time where I feel really tired. 2 p.m. might not be the best time for me. I kind of get a little laggy then. Like that might be time to take a 15-minute rest and then go for a little walk, right? So, you know, so there's also that to consider, as well as, oh, shoot, there was one more thing I was thinking of. Oh, I also think a lot of this we talked about is our mindset going into things. And what I don't want to do is waste a lot of time like I am right now going, I'm so frustrated, like talking about it. I'm so frustrated with the time that I'm not spending, you know, doing my work when I could just be making a plan to do it. And if I can get my mind straight so that I can easily shift and I'm not worried about all kinds of stuff and I don't have to spend a lot of time rerouting my brain before I get into that. I think that's what daily practice probably helps you do more often is like, okay, now's my 30 minutes to do art. Nothing else matters. All of it gets put set aside, right? And so then the time actually becomes more productive rather than like, I did it for 30 minutes, but I answered a phone call. I got up for a snack. I did all these other things rather than just doing it for 30 minutes and enjoying it. I don't want to be pulled away in all different kinds of directions. So I want to also, as part of my protocol, set myself up for having a really efficient space of time to work. And I'm going to feel so much better when it's over because I was super present with my art. And I always think that is a real benefit to be super present with art when you're doing it, when you're creating.
Hmm. That's a good reminder that sometimes after a big high, we do have these lows and we do need to sit in them and feel them. And then when we climb out of them, that's when we need to focus in and go, right, this time is for this now. Mm-hmm. and doing that. I'm sort of thinking that this is a good time for us to be finishing up, Bree. What do you think?
Yep, I think we talked about it all. You know what? You know why I know we're ready? Because I'm ready to go make a plan to go do art. So I'm like, okay, I have all these things that I'm ready. Like I've got all of my options laid out in front of me. And tomorrow morning, because I have stuff to do tonight, I'm going to edit this podcast, which is going to be fun. So I'm going to decide what I want. And then I'm going to create the steps to go do it. And that's going to be really fun. And then I'm going to be present while I'm doing it instead of thinking about other things. I'm just going to enjoy my art. So I'll let you know what I choose to do.
What a plan.
All right. Well, Len, do we have to say goodbye? No, we can keep talking after this, but we should let everyone else go. We love you guys. We love our audience. We're so grateful for you. And for hanging out with us for so many episodes. Go connect with us on Instagram and say hi and tell us what you thought about the episodes. That's where you can find us most often. I love being on Instagram and getting inspired. And I'd love to check out your work. And I know Len would too. So join us over there. All right, Len, that's it. Thanks for helping me work through that. It was fun to hear what you're doing.
It was. It's nice to do catch up. And it's also nice to bring questions to the table, isn't it? I think really enjoyed that. I have a whole pile of ones. I have to pull them out of the drawer and ask you.
That'd be fun. All right, I'm in. Well, I'll have to be in next time. So, all right, saying goodbye, everyone. Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, wasn't that fun? As we close another episode of A Creative Affair, would you click on your podcast player and leave us a 5-star review and share with another passionate creative like yourself? Thanks. To find out more about our creative work and mentoring, visit Len at lenschool.com or me, Bree, at creativemindscoach.com.